Oh my God. Oh my God, I said. But I shouldn't be saying that because we're changing the name of the show. I know, we change it every single week if we're here every single week. But it's now just for this week. It's going to change weekly, but not too much because you'll get confused. And I don't want to confuse the listeners. It's hard enough staying on point individually, especially in my case. But it's Thank Jeff Barnett is Sunday. That's the name of the show today, all right? Jeff Barnett, you know, this is a serious bit, passed away recently. You know, he's a legend to me because he played in the 1972 FA Cup final for Arsenal, and I just wanted to pay tribute. I saw it sadly passed away in the USA.
Okay.
Yeah, this month. So, yeah just wanted to pay tribute to him. So, hello, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
On a Sunday. So yeah, after the Man U performance, the day when I most wanted to talk about Arsenal was probably after the recent Southampton performance. But
yeah,
so which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's go chronological, shall we?
All right.
Southampton, I think, I don't think we can be too negative about United, but yeah. Certainly the Southampton performance, it was very, very pleasing. Obviously Arteta came with a plan, and it worked, you know, and it was pleasing to see Pepe sort of turn up, and yeah, I thought he played quite well against United last night as well.
So too. All of his step overs. It's Tony Adams in the studio. I was going, I think there were 20 step overs. I thought Tony, yeah. I don't know what you're on at the moment, but I saw his point.
Yeah. We're starting to develop as a team an actual identity now, I think. We're starting to develop as a team, you know, a system of playing, you know, what people can expect from Arsenal. I think we're starting to see that more, you know. And I think Arteta, I'm starting to get the feeling that Arteta has learned from his mistakes. You know, we don't trust the experienced player so much. It's put a lot of the faith in the kids and, you know, and it's paying dividends for him.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's Smith Rowe, Saka, especially Saka against Southampton.
Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday,
and Lacazette come back into form. Your favourite player, Lacazette.
Yeah, I know. I've been defending him always.
And so it's very pleasing to see. And I think, you know, Southampton it's a tough game. Yeah, it's a big result, and it set us up sort of perfectly. For United game because we've got some tough games coming up, you know, in the next few weeks. So we needed to get some good results from the board.
So Villa's next, right? Is it?
Wolves.
Oh, Wolves, of course. Yeah, Wolves. Well, how can I forget?
Wolves on Tuesday, so yeah. Quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I believe I just double.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right. Actually, no. And then it's Villa.
Yes.
So two away games. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think sometimes works in our favour because I think we're almost there's less pressure away from home because teams attack us more, and I think that works.
Yeah.
You know, to our sort of and I was impressed against Southampton. You know, obviously we had that chance really early on Lacazette. He didn't take it. We went 1-0 down, and you kind of go, "All right, here we go." But then we came back almost instantly. Made it 1-1, and then their keeper gave us a second goal. That was awful goalkeeping. Like if that had been an Arsenal, people would have been absolutely fuming at it. And then in the second half. We sort of the game and some of the passing, and I just love watching Arsenal when they play that forward, you know, progressive passing. You know, they try and break the lines, and it's quick. Mm. You know, and if you think about the first goal, especially the first goal, we won the ball back. I think Saka won the ball. Got the ball, passes it to Partey straight away to Xhaka, and Xhaka one or two touches into Pepe, forward pass.
Yeah.
And we just weren't doing that before, were we? We weren't incisive enough. We weren't playing forward passes enough. We were, you know, Xhaka especially, you know, master of the crab. But it certainly seems to have changed. And, the second goal again was quick, you know, quick football, quick, you know, turnaround pass from Lacazette to put Xhaka in. And then that third pass, that fucking ball by Suarez across the pitch,
yeah, said it's got something going for him.
He's really sort of hit improved the last few weeks, isn't it? And it kind of makes you question, maybe, you know, we were maybe a little bit hasty to go, why have we signed him? Because we all said it was a Kia, Jorba Chan, or whatever his name is, that super agent.
It's I have to say, transfers. I put my hand on my heart there, and I said all along, this guy, I liked what I saw. That's all I could say, because he scored a goal quite early on in his Arsenal career, and I know that's not everything. And I just saw he's a solid fullback, and I said he reminds me of Monreal, because I used to have the same arguments about Monreal when he first arrived. You know, because I did a lot of stuff with the Guna at that time, and they all said Monreal, he's not all that. He's not good enough for Arsenal, and I said, no, listen. He is good enough for Arsenal. He's a proper fullback, and you're not used to proper fullbacks. You're used to, you know, dare I say it, Cashley Cole, you know. You're used to that kind of flair player, and Monreal is not – he hasn't got as much flair, and neither has Cedric, you know, which I've decided I'd better call him, seeing as that's on his – everybody's on first-name terms on the back of their shirts nowadays. But anyway, so Cedric, Suarez, whatever his name is, it's better than Soares, which is what I was calling him in the beginning. But Soares. Yeah. Well, anyway, I just thought he was pretty good. I thought solid. And he looked good at left back. Although I have to say, in the cup game against Southampton, he was awful playing at left back. And then, in the league, he was brilliant.
Yeah, well, I think he needs to be supported, didn't he? Yeah. Because I noticed from yesterday, Martinelli. Yeah. He didn't go off, and Arteta said this. Martinelli didn't go off. He wasn't injured.
Yeah,
it was a tactical reason. Yeah.
That shocked me.
And you heard, I don't know if you heard, but Solskjaer was telling Rashford to, you know, to get at Suarez, because he knew that Martinelli wasn't helping him defend. He knew that Martinelli was dragging back. And Arteta identified this as well, and that's why he got dragged off. It's nice to see a manager make a tactical check. If you think back to being... Wenger wasn't particularly the most reactive sometimes, certainly in the later days. He was quite stubborn, wasn't he? He was just like, well, we're doing it as it is. So it was nice to see that, and it worked. And I'll tell you what, you know, I've been a very big critic of Willian. Again, I thought he played all right.
He wasn't bad. It's like a pendulum, right? Because like with Willian, because you've always slagged him off, and so I've gone, but he's... No, Joe, come on, get real. He's rubbish. Okay. And eventually I went, maybe he is, maybe he is. when he came on against Southampton, I said, that's it. Because I was sending messages to Mark, who we both know, you know, the Southampton fan. I was going, that's it, game over. I thought, when I put game over, that could mean game over for Man U. But actually what I meant is game over for Arsenal. If they take Martinelli off and replace him with Willian, as much as I used to like Willian, you know, I don't know what side of the line I'm on now with Willian, because I started to lose patience with him, really. And yeah, he put in a reasonably good shift, but he's not offering the flair.
He did things that I haven't seen him do much.
Yeah,
like he did track back. He did help defend. But also, like, he had that chance very early on in the second half. And he's a player that's definitely low on confidence.
Yeah, very low.
You know, you can tell. And I think, you know, that's part of it. Now, you know, we've criticised his work effort. We've criticised his sort of his end product. Yeah, that's what he's in the team for, is it? End product, you know, scoring and assisting goals. And, yeah, he missed that chance early on. And you could tell that everyone was like, oh, fucking hell, here we go. About 5 minutes later, if you remember, he absolutely bombed down the line, put a beautiful ball in for Pepe, and Maguire had to block it last
minute. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was definitely going in, yeah.
And, yeah, he did. He worked really hard. And like I said, you know, we have to sort of, when players do...
Okay, we seem to have lost you there. I'll be talking through it. Reconnecting. This is a poor network connection, so... So what were you talking about, Alex? Talking about how William bombed down the wing, crossed the ball, and then who was it who had the chance to score? It was, in fact, our friend Pepe. My friend Pepe, because I've always been behind Pepe. I've never lost the faith in him. But I was saying, just before we had this poor connection, and I don't know if Alex can hear me or not, I was saying that, I did and maybe I still have lost the faith a little bit in Willian, because I was so convinced that he was going to do a great job for Arsenal, and it never seemed to materialise. And then I started to think, maybe all the critics are right. Maybe I'm the one who's wrong. Maybe it wouldn't be the first time that I've called a transfer wrong. And I had no objection to Willian coming in on a 3-year deal. I was delighted that he joined Arsenal, because when I used to see him on the opposition bench, as obviously he was many times for Chelsea, when I used to see him on the bench, I used to think, well, you know, I wish he was playing for Arsenal, but never thought it was going to happen. Right, you have to listen to the Skype music now. It's a bit of advertising for Skype, hearing their music play. All right, Alex, we lost you. You were talking about Willian, and I was just talking about Willian and Pepe.
Strange, I could hear you.
Oh, you could?
You hear me? I was just saying, obviously, after that chance, he bombed down that. He set up a chance for Pepe, and Maguire put a great block in. And, yeah, that was going in, you know. De Gea had no chance. And I thought Willian, he did work hard. So, you know, like we were saying, you know, we criticise these players when they do wrong, but, you know, they play badly. But you have to say, yeah, he did play well in the second half. Now, whether this is a new sort of Willian we're going to see, only time will tell. But it's pleasing to see Arteta getting, you know, all the players seem to be all pulling in the same direction. There seems to be, like I said, we play with a bit more of an identity now. Certainly under Emery, never really had much of an identity. We never knew, really know what Arsenal was going to turn up. And, you know, and so I think hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, we turn the corner a little bit. And, you know, there's still be bumps in the road. We're still a long way off the end result. You know,
and the part of that identity, part of the identity is that defensive resilience wasn't there before. It just feels, I didn't feel, okay, I know United had a few chances which were fluffed by Cavani, but so did Arsenal. Arsenal hit the crossbar. I mean, it was Lacko who hit the crossbar.
It was a funny game, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, I think a 0-0 was a fair result.
Yeah, me too.
And I think the fact that I want to look at the positives. Positives were another clean sheet. Definitely. You know, we didn't lose. And, you know, when you take out our best player this season, our captain and our best defender, Tierney was going to play. We all thought Saka was going to play. We knew Aubameyang wasn't going to play, but we thought the other two were going to play. And then, so, you know, we were a weakened team. You know, United, I think United will be, certainly because of the position that they're in the league anyway.
Yeah.
But United, and, you know, they're coming back after that Sheffield United loss. A draw is a more pleasing result for us, considering that that wasn't our full strength team.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you know what I mean? So, and I thought we played well. And I think, yeah, both teams had chances to score. Yeah, Cavani had a couple that he missed. Obviously, the Willian one, there was a couple headers. I think Luis had one header. Lacazette hit the bar. Pepe had, one just go past the post.
Yeah, a couple actually past the post. Yeah, he was went quite close to scoring, Pepe. My man, Pepe.
I think we might have edged it. But I think overall draw was probably a fair result.
Yeah, they had a lot of possession. But, you know, when they had possession, I didn't feel afraid of their possession, because I thought, it's a bit like my dad always said, you don't worry about teams when they play across you. And that's what Man U were doing a lot of the time. They had the ball, they're playing it this way and that. And Arsenal had pulled all their players back and were just waiting for Man U to make a mistake. And they didn't make that many mistakes, actually. I thought Man U played quite well, but then Arsenal played quite well also. So cancelled each other out for me, and I really felt I was quite happy when Man U had the ball on the halfway. I just thought they're not going to do anything with it. I was, and that's really rare for me when I watch Arsenal. I'm a nervous wreck, and I wasn't that nervous about the game. Although there were a couple of crosses that could have been converted, but aside from that, I don't think they threatened that much. What really irked me was Fernandes, or whatever his name is. And his raking tackle on Xhaka, you know, the one where he put his studs down.
How did that happen?
How?
Well, it makes you question VAR, doesn't it? Because the ref didn't even see it, but nothing got done about that. It was a shocking tackle. You see the picture.
Yeah.
He's only looking at Xhaka's feet. Mm. Like, he's only looking to do her. Retroactively something will happen, but I doubt it.
I doubt it too. Shocking. Absolutely shocking.
It was awful.
And you know what made it worse? is Xhaka didn't even react that much. And that made it seem all the so much worse from the player, Fernandes, that he did that. And Xhaka didn't try and get him in trouble.
Yeah, but Xhaka didn't react that much because he got in trouble for overreacting against Burnley, if you remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Xhaka, he was obviously probably very annoyed, but he controlled himself. But
yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, and Xhaka, he's been a big talking point of late, because people were saying, well, I think it was Jeremy Redknapp said, Xhaka is playing well. I have to admit, he is playing well, but he'll be found out, he said. He's not going to keep this up. This level of performance is beyond him. He cannot keep it up for any length of time. And Arsenal fans know this. Obviously, Jamie Redknapp's camp, although his dad was an Arsenal fan, apparently. Harry always went to Arsenal, apparently. So he said those things. What do you think of that? Do you think Xhaka can keep it up, this level?
Well, I think... I thought for a start, I think he played very, very well yesterday. If you look at his passing stats, but a lot of them were forward passes, very, very good, I think. So that's obviously pleasing to see. With regards to Redknapp, I see his point because Xhaka's always one moment away from doing something really fucking stupid. We've been let down by Xhaka. It's like having a girlfriend. Having a girlfriend that cheats on you, and then you go, "Oh, you're not going to cheat on me anymore, are you?" No. And she does it again. That's it. I'm waiting. But don't get me wrong, I think he's playing very, very well, and I'm very happy with him since he got sent off at Burnley. But I think that's part of it, isn't it? The fact that he had to get sent off at Burnley.
Learn
his lesson. And he's done this before. So it's, that's, I can see Redknapp's point. I hope Xhaka hears that, proves him wrong.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Because I think he's a decent player, and I think he offers a bit more than Elneny does. I don't think, don't get me wrong, not for one second do I think Xhaka should be starting in our team.
No.
Okay, 100%. We need another midfielder, okay, because I think it's a bias for the league anyway. But I think he's a good squad player. And I think, when he plays well, he was playing well last year, wasn't he?
He had some good games.
I don't think you could blame him entirely for Arsenal's, mini, crash this season. Like, he wasn't the only one. I think he didn't help matters because he was very sideways passing. But he's not a leader for me. Like, he needs to be told what to do every game. He needs to sort of, you can't give him too much responsibility.
Even in this game that he, in as much as, I agree, he did play well. We've got people that are joining us now. Hello, Micro, Mini Mardi, Dennis Bergkamp. Yeah, we might talk about him later, but thanks for the hearts and all the rest of it. That's somebody in the live studio. So thanks for that. We're getting some tribute here. What was I saying? I forgot now. About Xhaka. Well, I've totally lost the gist of what I was saying. But I felt, I know. There was a moment in the game when he, I think it might have been Fernandes who beat him or put the ball not between his legs. He didn't get nutmegged, but he was sort of sidestepped by a player, a Man U player, who then raced past him. And I was sort of watching to see what Xhaka's reaction was. And he just sort of ambled back. And this is a guy, a Man U player running full pelt towards the Arsenal penalty box. And and Xhaka just was ambling back. He was the only player.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he did it all the time, but he just did it at this one moment in the game. And I just thought that's the same old Xhaka that I've complained about. Because the other players weren't ambling back. All of them were racing back, like full on, flat out. Even when people criticise Pepe, Pepe put in one hell of a shift as well as forward.
He was
running back, he was sprinting. He was sprinting to defend. Willian was sprinting to defend. They all sprinted. Lacazette, all of them. They were all sprinting everywhere. But not Xhaka, who's slow anyway. And this was one of the reasons Redknapp said he would get found out. He said, look, he hasn't got... He's barely got any pace at all, this guy, and he will get found out. I mean, loads of people said he'd get found out against Man U, and clearly they were wrong. But just on this one occasion, I thought if that turns into a goal, Xhaka is partly responsible for that. And it was just one thing, but it did set my alarm bells were going off left, right, and centre just because of that one thing, and no one picked up on it, which was surprising. Another thing that not many people were talking about. What do you think about this tactic now that Bellerin lays down for free kicks? What are your thoughts about that? Because when I first saw that the other day, I thought, I'm not sure what I think about that. You know, it sort of seems like a good idea.
I must have missed this.
Yeah, well, so the new tactic is, and I don't know where it began, is that when Arsenal have a free kick, Bellerin lays down. I'm not joking. I feel strange saying it, but he lays down. He lays down on the ground to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea obviously is if the wall jumps, then and the ball goes under the wall, then it hits Bellerin and doesn't go in. So he just sort of lays down. He's like a plank of wood.
Was this defensively?
Yeah. So he lays down for free kicks. Yeah. So I saw him do it. He did it against Man U and he did it against Southampton. And I just thought, where did this tactic come from? I've never seen it before. I mean, I've only really watched Arsenal games, I've got to say, of late. So maybe some other clubs invented this new strategy, tactic. But what do you think of it as a tactic? To me, swings and roundabouts. You're losing a player because if he's laid down, he can't mark anyone, can he? At the same time, I can see a little bit of sense in it, but do you think it's one of those ridiculous things that will die a death in no time at all? Because I've used it twice now.
I don't know. Like you said, like it does have its advantages, doesn't it? I think when teams find a way to get around it, then it'll probably die its death, if that makes sense. So, I must have missed that. I thought I'd watched it. I saw everything yesterday, but I suppose it's quite ingenious in its own little way, isn't it?
And I probably liked it for that reason. You know, I just thought there it is. It's so different. I've never seen a player laying down on the pitch for other than that he's pretending that he's hurt. You know, and then in this instance, he's actually laying down for tactical reasons. It's quite interesting what he's doing. What would happen? Because in my head, I'm sort of running through the scenario thinking, okay, so the guy does hit it low. I think it was, again, Fernandes, I like saying his name. He was taking the free kick. I don't know if it was that free kick. It may have been that free kick where, and I sort of missed it at the time, when David Luiz, who got named man of the match by quite a lot of people, actually, he headed the ball clear when it hit him on the head, basically went for a corner. But he was able to jump in the air without worrying about whether the ball would go under the wall because Bellerin was there.
Yeah.
So I could see that it gives him freedom. Yeah. But what worries me is, what if there's a lot of movement around? They've got the one man advantage. So to me, as I said, it swings and roundabouts.
I think Arsenal. I always think that they always have nearly all of their team back for set piece anyway, don't they?
Yeah, like, and I suppose they've got the kicker. So the kicker, you can take him out of the equation. So if you've got the guy laid down, you're minus one, and they've got the guy taking the kick, so they're minus one, so it's all equal if everybody's doing their job.
Yeah, you're not going to have United, you're not going to have all of the opposition ahead of the ball anyway, are you? So
yeah, that's true.
I think it'll be all right. I think it... are you interested to see if there's a way around it?
Yeah, I'm curious about it too. And I just wondered, because I thought, have I missed a trick here? Because when they did it against Southampton, the commentary team didn't say anything about it. They just let it roll and they just didn't say anything. And I thought, am I seeing things? Yeah. Bellerin's laying down in front of behind the wall. Why? I could sort of work out why he's doing it. Obviously, I worked it out, but... But I thought, no one's talked about it. No one's written about it. It's so odd that there's a player laying down on the pitch behind a wall and no one's even commenting on it. And then when he did it against Man U, they started to make comments about it. So I thought, oh, they finally noticed. The commentary team, they get paid, shed loads of money, and they finally realised that this is actually a tactic. But I just was curious about, well, one, what's it called? Not that I care. And two... Who invented it? That's what I want to know. Was it an Arteta bit of touch of ingenuity?
Come off the training ground. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder who invented it. That's all. But if you find out, do let me know if anyone out there knows.
Sure.
Yeah. So where were we anyway? We're talking about we've got to talk about the new signing, whatever his name is, Odegaard. Is it pronounced like that? I'm not sure.
Odegaard, yeah.
So what did you think? I mean, he didn't have long to impress, did he? But what did you think?
No, he looked all right. I think.
I like what's on.
So did I. It's difficult to come on and make certainly when it's
so tight like that. Mm.
Yeah, and as well, it's your debut sort of thing. But
yeah,
I liked his first touch.
His first touch was really good.
I liked it as well.
I thought I like this sort of player who hits it first time like the way he did, you know, and it was accurate and sweet. I just like what I saw. I mean, it was such a it was a brief glimpse, I know, but you know, in that way, he is a bit similar to Smith Rowe. Oh, that's the other question I was going to ask you, because Arteta said we could play Smith Rowe. We could play Smith Rowe with Odegaard in the same team. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think Arsenal are going to change their formation, so I think one of them wouldn't play the 10.
Mm.
Supposedly, Odegaard can play almost across that front three. I think maybe a bit more on the right, perhaps. So I think it's just, I remember talking to you last week about this, and I was excited about the possibility of signing him.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't confirmed at that point. And I think it's a very clever signing by Arsenal because it's like very low risk. And, you know, he's not getting game time at Madrid. And I think you said it last week. You said, maybe if he impresses Arsenal, I'd put a bid in for him. And I think I read somewhere on Twitter that, you know, Real Madrid aren't exactly flush for cash. Arsenal, if it does work out, maybe Arsenal would do it. You know, obviously it's a long way in the future, but I think I see him as a sort of, you know, we've got a lot of games coming up. A game every 3 or 4 days now for at least the rest of the month. You know, maybe it's a blessing in disguise getting kicked out of the FA Cup. We've got a lot of games, and I think it's purely from a rotation basis. So now we've got, across that front three, Aubameyang, whenever he comes back, which we're not sure about yet, Saka, Martinelli, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, Willian, Pepe, and then maybe Willock as well. So, you know, you've got 8 players there, and I think that's hopefully, you know, you don't want to play Pepe and Willian too much, but they have played a bit better, so they... You know, Arteta will hopefully have a bit more confidence in, you know, rotating his squad. I think it's a good sign, and I'm happy. I think I don't want him to start ahead of Smith Rowe because Smith Rowe's our player, and I want him to continue to develop. But I do think Smith Rowe needs breaks, and I think it's the perfect signing for Smith Rowe because we've got enough cover apart from left back. I think we've got enough cover everywhere. You know, maybe not the desired quality. But we've certainly got enough players. But apart from that 10 position, and you've seen it, like having that 10 position, I don't know if it's the factor that's changed Arsenal's season, but it's certainly a contributing factor. Like, it cannot be denied that since we started playing with a 10, since Smith Rowe has started playing, our season has taken a turn for the better. So, we've got to kind of wrap him in cotton wool a little bit. And we can rest Saka sometimes. We can rest maybe Martinelli, but we can't rest Smith Rowe because we don't have error. But now we do. I'm maybe he will play in the same team, but I think it's completely possible. I think Odegaard might start on the right. I think Pepe played on the left.
He did.
Southampton, didn't he?
Yeah, I liked what I saw. I liked him on the left. I liked him more on the left than the right, actually. Because he worked so well with Cedric.
Yeah.
And they made a really good partnership working down the left. I just want to say a big shout out to somebody, Gelio Muchori, who's entered the live studio some time ago, but I forgot to shout you out. So you've had it now. But anyway, looking at that team, the only thing that really worried me, well, there were a number of things. Well, obviously, no Saka. He's injured, right? So that was a worry.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that worried me.
It was a precaution hit.
And talking of hips, wasn't that a reason why Matty, the new signing, new goalkeeper from Brighton, Matty Ryan, was out as well? And that really perturbed me, because then we just only had Runarsson on the bench. And did you notice for the Southampton game, there was Runarsson and Matt, what's his name, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, no Balogun, was there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's not appearing at all, so he's history, obviously. Yeah. But what do you make of... because we talked...
Did you see what he did on social media, Balogun?
No,
he
didn't.
He posted after the Southampton... I think it was the Southampton game. It might have been when we lost in the Cup, but it was certainly one of the Southampton games. He posted, after the game, he posted a video of him scoring.
I did see that, actually.
Yeah.
He scored for the...
You know, it's interesting. Arteta did mention it, didn't he? He said, you know, but Nketiah is ahead of him and he has to earn his place. And you go, well, okay, I agree with all of that. But, you know, if you give him game time, like, he hasn't done badly when he's played. But,
not at all, yeah.
You know, so hopefully they'll find some time to get him some game time as well. Because, you know, if Lacazette's injured, you know.
But it seems that Lacazette's okay, according to Lacazette, last I looked.
Yeah, I think it was just a bump of head.
Yeah, yeah, but he looked pretty... I don't think it was just groggy. I thought he'd hurt his back as well, but apparently he's okay, so fingers crossed on that. But, yeah, looking at Balogun, I think he's gone. I think he's already signed a deal with some club, and maybe we don't know about it yet. There was talk about Leipzig. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I'll be most surprised if he's at Arsenal after the summer. I think he's gone. Just my gut feel. And I don't think, well, we don't know what he's like as a personality and all the rest of it, but still, I just think it's a great shame to lose a player. I want to say a big shout out to Dory Peter. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but thanks for joining us. But anyway, yeah, I just feel really upset about Balogun, because, as you know, I liked what I saw, the glimpses I saw. The guy's steps into first team, plays a few minutes, scores a goal, comes into the first team again. Okay, Europa League, but he scores goals. The guy scores goals against, you know, not the best opposition, but they're far from the worst. So
he's a young player. He's learning the ropes.
Yeah, that's right. So what a great start. What a great start. And I'm nothing against Nketiah, because he's done okay as well. And he runs around a lot, and I like him, you know. But Balogun looks to me, if you ask me, based on what I've seen, this guy's got something very special about him. And I said the same about Gnabry, by the way. I actually said it at the time, not being wise after the UN. I said, this guy's really something special. I know it went very pear-shaped for him at West Brom. But talking of West Brom, obviously there's the link with Maitland-Niles, West Brom and Southampton. Would you be okay with him going to one of those two clubs on loan? How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, I think it depends. Like, if we got a left back, because we do need cover for Tierney. And as it stands, we've only got three fullbacks in the team. But apparently Maori can play there, but I don't want Maori playing there.
He doesn't look like a fullback, does he?
Exactly. Really? So at the minute, currently, we've only got three fullbacks. And that worries me slightly. Because you need to rotate. So I wouldn't be, if we could get someone else in, then I would possibly be a bit more sort of going, willing for it. But maybe a loan deal again. You know, it seems to be our favourite sort of thing at the minute, getting loans. But it's also based. We have to, really. You know, the financial
situation
that we're in. I can see the sense in it. Like, it's funny, I feel sorry for Maitland-Niles in a way, because, like, he played, I can't remember what game it was, and he had an absolute stinker. But he got played at left back, and he's like, he hasn't played for 2-3 months. And I kind of felt people were a bit harsh with him, like, oh, yeah, he was shit, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, he hasn't played. It takes a few, you obviously match fitness and match sharpness and all that sort of thing. And I kind of felt for him a little bit. And I think, I don't know what he's like in training. Obviously, Arteta's not impressed with him. But we signed him to a new contract, if you remember, in the summer. We signed him to a new contract. And now, it's kind of like Arsenal have gone back on it a little bit. But, wait and see, I guess. Like, see how If we could get him covering, but he because he could play left back.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. I think it'd be a shame to lose him. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's had a couple of good games, and I think he's got talent. He's got talent. I'm not denying that, but he's just there's something that's not there. You know, it's a bit like Willock. Willock also has talent, and he's another one who could be off to Newcastle. So we hear, but these boys have talent. Because the only thing with Willock, he seems to have gone off the boil a bit lately. I mean, on a good day, he's pretty good. But yeah, it's just been fewer of those recently. It's not I'm not writing him off by any means, but at the same time, I won't be that sad if he leaves. It's sad because he's an he's come through the Arsenal youth system, which is the same obviously with Ainsley. So I'll be sad from that perspective. But really, Ainsley to me is just he's like there's so much about him I like that he seems he's got the kind of skill and technique. Or more the technique, actually, that a Brazilian's got, a typical Brazilian footballer. That's what he looks like. But he's also got, to me, he's not the hardest working player in the world, but he's not lazy either. He's something in between. He's just got a certain languid way about him, and I'm not a big fan, generally speaking, of those sort of players. And sometimes he does incredibly sloppy things with the ball, where maybe that's what happens when someone has amazing technique like he's got. I don't know, but I just think there's something.
If you don't play him though, like you can't be surprised when players make mistakes if you don't play them that much.
They need the experience. He's clocked up a lot of games though. Hasn't he clocked up 100 games? Or I don't know. I haven't checked, but I thought
not this season.
No. I mean over he's clocked up a lot of games at Maitland-Niles. I thought, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just a stat somebody on TV at some point in the not so distant past said Ainsley Miles is clocking up. It was a milestone, I thought. Maybe it was 50 games. Okay. I don't know. But it was more than I thought he'd clocked up. But anyway, I just think so you're sort of a bit ambivalent, it sounds like, about him going. If there's cover.
If there's cover, fine. Because I think he might still come good. And if we got some short-term cover in, who's happy to do a loan deal or something like that, then you go, all right, okay, fine.
Mm.
I wouldn't be completely against it. But like with Willock, 100%. Give the lad game time. He needs...
He's not getting a look in, is he, at the moment? He's not really getting a look in. Exactly. And I don't really see him as a number 10 either. According to this, Maitland-Niles played 64, so he must have gone well over the 50. There's some Wikipedia, so you can't really trust that. But then if you count in all the cup games, who knows? Maybe he has hit 100. I don't know. I just thought he hit some kind of milestone.
If you remember, he played really well last season, didn't he? Like he had some defensively some tough games, and he bossed some really good players. Which made me sort of, sit up and take note of him. I think if we could get some cover in, then I wouldn't mind. But if not, I'd be a bit reluctant to. But, I have to wait and see. Obviously, he's got potential England, with the tournament, the Euros coming up this year. So he's got to think about that. So he might force something through. You don't know, do you?
And, did you hear the story that he would rather go to West Brom than Southampton? Did you hear that? A lot of people are incredulous about it. They're saying, why would he do that? I mean, I could see the reason why. Because if he goes to West Brom, he'll get more experience defending than if he's with Southampton, who've been doing quite well until, they lost against Villa, didn't they, the other day. But I don't know. I just thought maybe he's better off in a struggling team. Maybe that will give him whatever it is he's missing. That's what I thought.
Yeah, he'll give him more game time as well.
Yeah, and more game time. Yeah, because he goes to Southampton, he's not guaranteed to get in the team, I don't think. If he goes to West Brom, he's definitely playing. Sam Allardyce is still there. So he's only just arrived, but you've got to say these things when teams are facing relegation. But maybe a relegation dogfight is what he needs to... Because my view with him was it's more mental than physical was what I was going to say.
As well. I think his attitude isn't very good.
Supposedly,
I don't think he trains that hard.
Yeah, he doesn't come across like a hard trainer. Just based on what I've seen, you know, when he's playing in matches, he does make things look easy. But then, you know, he doesn't bust the gut a bit like Shaka, but he busts more of a gut to get back than Shaka, and I appreciate that. But he's just, he's just a little bit too lackadaisical in his approach, you know, and sometimes when he's straight past, don't seem that bothered, you know, because he has confidence, and that's a good thing. But I just think sometimes it borders on overconfidence, and that worries me, yeah, and arrogance, yeah. And if that's the case, then maybe for his sort of, I don't know, mental makeup, if I can call it that, he needs to go to West Brom rather than Southampton. Leicester, the latest story is Leicester are interested too, but I don't know if that's really true. Daily Mail running that story, so take that for what it's worth. But yeah, is there anything else we missed out? We talked about quite a few things in a shorter space of time than normal. We must be getting efficient, just like Arsenal.
Yeah, we must be. No, I think that's it. Like, obviously, we've got, if you look, the next few fixtures, we've got, you know, Wolves away, that'd be tough. Although they think they're stuttering a little bit. Villa, looking like a bit of an informed team. And then we've got a week break, which I think will be a welcome break. Then we play Leeds, and then Benfica, and then City, and then Benfica again, and then Leicester.
Wow, sounds pretty tough.
So it's going to be a busy month. Yeah, it's going to be a busy month.
Oh, there was one player I wanted to talk about, actually. Partey. Because...
Okay.
Yeah, because obviously everybody's raving about him even now. I think, personally, I wanted to say... Well, I don't really want to say it, but I'll say it anyways, that since he came back from his injury, I don't think he's... And that's understandable. He's not the player he was before his injury. Not yet. He's still good. I'm not complaining about him. But he was head and shoulders above everyone else when he first arrived. And now he's just better than everyone else, maybe.
Yeah.
But not by as much.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
I think it's understandable. He had a bit of a stinker yesterday, didn't he?
By his standards, by his very, very high standards.
Well, I think that's only one game. Like, from what I saw against Southampton and what I saw against like Newcastle, he played all right in those games.
Yeah, so it's just...
Yeah, you allowed...
Yeah, you've got to make allowances. It was just the stray passes were upsetting me. But then he would do something pretty amazing, and then I'd go, oh, yes, he's got it back. Then he'd lose the ball. I'd go, no, he's lost it. And then he'd bring it back. And he's having no sort of games at the moment since he had that injury. Yeah. I was just thinking as well, I don't know what you think about this. I think Arsenal was so desperate to play him, and this is just a theory. I just think I think he's actually playing with an injury at the moment. I think he's still injured. Yeah. I think he's getting... It's just a theory. I don't know.
He's still injured.
I think he's still... Think more, yeah. You think it's just rustiness?
But, well, firstly, I think rustiness. But he played well against Southampton.
Yeah, it was all right. It was good. It was good against Man U in my book. He's still good, even though I'm having a whinge. But I'm not whinging about his attitude or anything like that. He doesn't look as mobile. He doesn't look as mobile to me.
He's still coming back from injury. I think that's definitely a factor. In most of the games he's played well. Yesterday he was poor, and I think he said that as well, didn't he? He said he didn't play well, but I think in most of the other games he's played well. Like against Southampton, he was very good. The Southampton game.
Yeah.
You know, he came on in the second half, and he did make a bit of a difference. You could see he made a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
It wasn't sadly to be enough, but he had a bit of a stinker yesterday. But no, I'm not concerned. Like, it's going to take time for him to get fully back. And I think he's still adapting to the league, and he's still adapting to sort of playing as many games as we do as well. So no, I'm aside from yesterday, I'm still very happy with him.
And Gabriel, the defender, where's he gone? I mean, I haven't heard much about him. You know,
we were talking about players out of form. He did seem to be
very out of form.
I think it's Arteta looking after him. I think that's a good thing. You know, you're not playing well. we have got players that are playing better at the minute.
Yeah,
I'm going to play them, you know, and I think that's Arteta's completely entitled to do that. I think Arteta's looking after him. Bear in mind, Gabriel got player of the month 3 months in a row.
Yeah, he's outstanding. The guy's outstanding. I'm not going to knock him away just for one or two poor games. And he was very poor in the last game I saw.
He's still going to make mistakes, isn't he?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
he's still going to make mistakes, isn't he? He's one for the long term, isn't he?
He's
played well. Mary's played well. Holding's playing very well.
Very well.
I think at centre half, we're not in dire straits, really. We've certainly got enough centre half. So when Mustafi leaves, we might get one more in. But I'm not too concerned about Gabriel. I'm not concerned about Partey either. Everyone's allowed a bad game, and I think that's what it was.
Yeah, and if a bad game's like that, we'll have a few more. That's what I was thinking. Because I thought he's not that bad on a bad day so far. Yeah, he's given the ball away, but he does track back very well, but I just felt he doesn't look quite right physically. Something's not quite right with him, and it may be the seriousness of the injury that he's recovering from. It may be that he's getting injections before games, but I don't know that. I'm just surmising or guessing, hopefully incorrectly. I'm just I worry about players when they don't look well. Yeah, that as well. They look a little bit injured, because you know what happens. I want to shout out to Brother Anthony, who's entered the live studio. We're going to be logging off probably pretty soon, but thanks for joining us anyway. But I just worry about players when they get all these injections. I'm not saying he's getting injections. I don't know. I'm making this assumption because just the way he's running is a bit ungainly compared to how he was running before he got that injury. And I have no idea. He may not be getting any. But it's just I'm just thinking he's so essential or deemed so essential for the team that I could see that kind of thing going on. Because, Arsenal's not the only club who do it. Nothing illegal in it. I mean, it's been like that. It's been like that since...
No, it's really managed as well.
Yeah.
If it's happening, maybe it is, but you don't want them... Do a player's health in, do you?
No, so, that's what I'm worried about, really. I mean, obviously, Tierney's out, and Tierney's another one that I've always worried about in that respect, probably unduly, because, I said I remember when Tierney joined, I said, this guy, he's had a career-threatening injury, and then the Celtic fans all started giving me stick. Oh, what are you talking about? Didn't you know Ken? Or whatever they say. And they just slammed me over that, and I said, well, what are you talking about? And then I had this massive online row with the Celtic fans, and nothing against Celtic, by the way, but they railed with me, and so I gave it back to them. And they said, oh, can he talk about our league? You didn't even watch it. I said, that's right, because it's no good. It's just getting really, the banter was getting nasty. But they said, no, Tierney's one of the best players out there. And I was going, playing in your Mickey Mouse league. But in the end, it turns out the Celtic fans were right. But it also turned out that I wasn't far wrong, because Tierney came out and said, I had a career-threatening injury when I joined Arsenal. He actually said that. And he paid tribute. Remember after the Cup win, the FA Cup win, he said he wanted to pay tribute to the guy who's now left to join Liverpool. Forgot his name. But he said, if it weren't for him, I might not have come back. So I'm always worried about Tierney purely because of his injury record and that he's been played too much, too young, and I don't know, what sort of medical treatment he's had before games. And it's just, you just see certain players, they get on the pitch, but they're not really fit to play unless they're getting, an injection of some description in order to, like, painkillers and so on, so that they can play. And then ultimately they do themselves damage and then they can't play for long periods of time. Just saying, you know what I'm like. I worry about these things too much. I should stop.
I think we'll leave it there.
Leave it on a worry. I should say something positive. Well, obviously the results have been very positive. So So leave us on a positive. Yeah, and Ozil's gone, and that was another thing I worried about. Do you remember how worried I was? I said, he's not going. He'll be here. He'll be here till the 31st. And he left quite a few days ago now. Yeah. So let's save so much money.
Fenerbahce can't pay his wages as well.
Oh, yeah.
Fans there.
Yeah, have a wet
round. He's not on much either by comparison to what he was on at Arsenal.
He's on about 67,000 a week now. So so I wish Ozil well anyway. I actually do, strangely. Yeah. I do. I've got nothing against Ozil. I just had the ump because much money was going out of the club. It was nothing personal against him. Thought he was a talent.
I'm glad out of the club.
But I'm glad he's gone too, to be honest. And Mustafi, sounds like you think he'll go or you think he'll stay?
I don't know. I don't know what's him. I know Liverpool are desperate for a centre-half. Maybe we can shift him to Liverpool, but... I have a sneaking suspicion he'll stay. Apparently, his dad has come out and said he's definitely going to stay until the summer. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
He's obviously fifth choice centre half.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get any game time, I'm happy with that. And I don't want to see him anywhere near an Arsenal shirt. I don't want to see him anywhere near a football pitch because he's so subpar. Yeah. And the games that he's played, even this year, he's been shit. And obviously he's busy mates with Ozil as well. And that post that he did for Ozil made me sick.
I didn't see that.
I don't want to see him anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, it was cringe. But I don't want to see him anywhere near an Arsenal shirt. But if he wants to stay, fine. Like, we're idiots. Apparently Arteta wanted to give him a new deal, but. We're the idiots that signed him, and we're the idiots that gave him more money afterwards. So we kind of, I think, hopefully Arteta's learned his lesson, and Edu's learned his lesson a little bit with regards to some of these experienced players that we're giving these big bumper deals to. I don't think he'll go now. I don't think he'll go.
And let me ask you again about Guendouzi. I haven't really heard a lot. There was some bit of news on. I'm a Guendouzi fan, and yet I couldn't even be bothered to check what the news was about him. I think Hertha Berlin, that's where he is, right? They're struggling recently, from what I heard. And yet he was doing really well at the beginning. Would you look forward to seeing him back in an Arsenal shirt, Guendouzi, the way things are, or not really?
No, I don't think his attitude has changed. The whole reason for him going was for him to grow up.
Yeah.
To get a bit of an attitude check. By the sounds of it, his attitude hasn't got any better.
Yeah.
He's causing problems in Hertha Berlin. He had a fight with one of the players apparently in the tunnel.
Oh wow.
I don't get the feeling that he's learned his lesson. And if that's the case, well then you're right. You're a pain in the ass. He's part of that sort. He didn't want to play for the club. I don't think, he's very stubborn, isn't he? He's very heavy-headed. Heavy-headed. And I don't think, he doesn't want to play for the club. I don't think we need people like that at our football club, really. So, no, I wouldn't want him back. And hopefully we can flog him and get a bit of money for him. Mm. I suspect we won't. But what happened is, and this is what kind of didn't happen with Ozil, but eventually it did, is the player and his agents think that he's worth more than he is.
Mm.
And, we tried to flog Ozil a year or two ago, and nobody came in for him. No big club, a club that Ozil wanted to go to, because he felt he was an elite player, he should go to an elite club. No club came in for him. And so we get stuck with these players. And it's the same with Guendouzi. He thinks he's an elite player, but he'll go down. He'll go down to, a mid-table German team or a mid-table English team. Maybe he will start there, but he's definitely going to take a step backwards because no elite club wants him. So I think, I know he's got two more years left on his contract. I think he'll come back in the summer and we'll try and sell him. Same goes for Torreira. Although I feel bad about Torreira because I quite liked him. I don't know what Arteta's problem with Torreira was. But supposedly he's not playing that much at Atletico. And Arsenal have got the hump a little bit about that. But Atletico, let's be fair, they're not going to do us any favours after the whole Barca deal.
Oh, yeah, so, that's true.
You know, But yeah, we'll be lucky to. But you know, Torreira, I don't think he's got a bad attitude. But we'll be lucky to get any money from him anyway.
So would you bring him back in the fold, or is it you wouldn't because of?
I would, because I liked him.
Yeah.
But I think obviously Arteta is seeing much more than we see.
Yeah.
So you know, if Arteta doesn't want him, then I have to trust the manager and say, okay, fine.
And then there's that whole business about him being non-homegrown. I just want to shout out a couple of shout outs. Rachel Nunn, thank you for joining us. Serena, thank you for joining us. We're probably not going to stay on a lot longer, but I've still got actually dug up a couple more questions for you. But yeah, anyway, Torreira, yeah. I wanted to ask, because he's a number 11, right? And that number 11 shirt's now gone. Does that mean that there's an opening for a number 10 to be brought in before the end of this transfer window? Obviously, with people still talking about £100 million deal being done for Jack Grealish. Can't see that happening. I don't want it to happen. No. Can you see a number 10 coming in?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think we're pretty much done for our transfer window. I'd love it if we got like a backup left back.
Mm.
I think the situation, like, with COVID, well, not really COVID, but with the lack of fans, the lack of money, you know, clubs aren't exactly solvent at the minute. And I think that's playing, having an effect. So, no, I don't think Arsenal will sign anyone. I think we'll stick with what we've got. And in the summer, once we've got a bit more shit off the wage bill, and you know, hopefully we'll have Europe to sort of offer to players, I think then we'll have a big transfer window, because I think Arteta was hampered. Yeah, but to be fair to Arteta, you know, we did sign Partey, we did sign Gabriel, so you can't say that Arteta hasn't had money to spend. He hasn't had loads of money, don't get me wrong, but it's not like he's been like had no money to spend. But I think I think hopefully this transfer window he'll get given a bit more, and you know, we can go big and start to fill in those squad places, you know. But I think we'll see a lot of exits this summer. We're not going to see many exits this summer. In January. So if we're not going to see any exits, then we don't really have the space for players.
That's true. There isn't space. Saliba. There was, I'm not going to ask you much about Saliba, but he was saying how sad he is the way things turned out. I can't find the article now, but I was reading it.
I did see the problem for him, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think, that reading between the lines, does that mean he's never coming back? Or is that how you read it?
Like, he's such a young player, isn't he?
I think
it was a mistake possibly buying him. I don't know. We don't see what's going on in the training ground, do we? I don't think he's had a great start. I think one good game, but I won't lie, I haven't tracked his progress. But I think, you know, he's definitely one for the future. Maybe things will change in the summer and he gets some game time. I think he expected to play more, and I think Arsenal, you know, they expected a better player to come to them than the one that they got, if that makes sense. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think anyone's particularly happy about the current situation. So, yeah, it's a shame. We'll have to wait and see how that develops, I guess.
Okay, and one more question. I keep saying one more. I've been about 21 more.
No, you're all right.
Well, this is another one more. Might be the last one. Robert Pires. Now, I can't find the article now, but he was talking about Pepe, saying he's basically unsuited for English football. I mean, based on the last two performances, I think Robert Pires is wrong. But what are your thoughts? But you know, I'm a Pepe fan, so of course I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, Pepe's an absolute legend, isn't he? Yeah, no Arsenal fan is going to say anything bad about Pepe. That being said, the man might be wrong. You have to think that Pires, you know, is going to be more knowledgeable than most about that particular situation. It's an interesting one because, yeah, if you remember, Pires took a season to sort of bed in. You know, Pires' first season, he didn't really pull up trees. It was that second season that he was absolutely world class. But we've discussed this before. I know we've said about. I said, yeah, Pepe had a good first season.
Yeah,
and then he needed to push on, and he hasn't pushed on so far anyway in that second season. So maybe that's Pires's sort of rationale. Is he thinks that, you know, I'd love it if Robert Pires thinks the same as me, but you know, he hasn't pushed on in that second season. He hasn't continued to develop, and that's so maybe it's make or break. And it's certainly, yeah, it's a £72 million player. It's our record signing, isn't it? So
yeah, that's right.
We wanted more than what we've got from him for the money that we paid. So maybe Arsenal will cut their losses. Like, there are a lot of players that could leave this club.
The thing is, when I saw him, you know, against Man U, somebody else has joined us. Who's that? Cyril Liz, 27. Well, you're in this place for not very long because we'll be shutting down shortly. But, yeah, what I was going to say was, to me, he was looking like he's worth that kind of money. When you look at Paul Pogba for Man U, who I think is a decent player. I can't remember what they paid. Was it 100 million or close to it? 90
something.
Oh, was it? So more, did he look a better player than Pepe? Not to me, he didn't. He looked good. I know the Man U fans have been slagging off Pogba, but they've had a good run, apart from that defeat against Sheffield United. They've had a good run of form. Yeah. I haven't seen those games. I don't know how much is down to Pogba. Pogba looks...
He looks a class act
to me, and I've said it all along, yeah. And I just didn't understand why he gets slagged off so much. And the same, you know, I'm just... With Pepe... I started to understand why he's been slagged off a lot, because there was one game he was absolutely awful. And I went, yeah, you know what? I got it wrong. Pepe maybe isn't as good as I think he is. But he always shows glimpses of total genius.
It's that final end product, isn't it?
This guy, I still think he's going to come good. I really believe in Pepe. Willian, as I said, I turned a corner with Willian. And at that moment, now everyone else is saying, well, you know, he's not that bad. He's not as bad as we thought.
Well, he had one good game yesterday. Yeah. I don't think,
and he weren't exactly outstanding in that, you know. So I'm still disappointed. I've been disappointed in Willian. I how desperate I was for Arsenal to sign him. So happy when he signed. I was happier when Pepe joined, because I quickly saw what he could do. Even though, you know, a lot of people wrote him off, and I couldn't understand it. But yeah, I know it's the size of the transfer fee had a lot to do with it. Right, I suppose we'll better leave it there. Is there anything we missed, do you think?
I think we've pretty much covered it all. Obviously, we've got the Wolves game on Tuesday, haven't we?
Big game's coming up. Big game's coming up. And, you won't hear them on here, but you never know. We might get around to it one of these days. But anyway, thanks for joining us. Quite a lot of people joining us in the studio. You all stay very quiet, and that's all right. We can live with that, because we can talk for England and whatever other things we want to talk for. I don't know why they say talk for England. I don't want to talk for England. I'll talk for Arsenal, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Never going to talk for England. So get me that Arsenal gig. That's what we want. Till the next time. Adios, amigos.